This is Tom Scarta. Welcome to the Franchise Radio Show. And I am here with a special friend of mine tonight. We're going to be talking really, usually we talk everything about franchising, everything you ever wanted to know, how to buy a franchise, how to sell a franchise, how to turn your business into a franchise. But tonight we have a special show with a friend of mine, Nick Tarasio, who's the CEO of Ventura Air Services here on Long Island. And it's kind of serendipitous that we're sitting in an airport, ISP, and it's an islip in Long Island, and that's where the radio studio is. And we are going to talk about everything from how to fly a plane to how to write a book, everything you ever wanted to know about how to run a business, and how you survive being in a family business, which is something that Nick is an expert by fire, and we'll talk about that. So I wanted to welcome Nick, and hello, how are you, Nick?
Doing well. Thanks for having me here.
Yeah, this is great. So this is really cool. So Nick, after almost two decades of serving as a jet pilot, an aircraft mechanic, avionics technician, and aircraft salesman, he found his greatest ability to contribute as the role in the role of a CEO. So through leading a multifaceted aviation company that focuses on flight training, aircraft maintenance, avionics, aircraft charter, and aircraft management, it keeps him quite busy. But it's all about music for Nick. So as a multi-instrumentalist, a songwriter, and a performer, Nick has three albums to his credit, besides everything else that he does, which is insane. But one of the things, what's interesting, you know, this is what I love about Nick and about Ventura. The thing he's most proud of is not the records and not the CEO stuff and everything else that he does, but he's really proud of the hundreds of lives that he has saved and the company has saved through organ transplant flights. That's huge. So Nick is all about extraordinary living through flight. He's a specialist in aviation maintenance, aircraft avionics design, installation. He's a songwriter. He loves systematizing organizations, and he solves Rubik's cubes on a regular basis. So welcome, Nick.
I didn't realize you were going to read all that, so that's a pretty funny thing to hear, actually.
So now we're done. You could go home.
All right. Good. Well, it was fun. I'm very good at this.
I'm really happy that you're here. You know, I was just on the ride over here, I was just thinking that it was next month or the month after, it was 5 years that we met at the Mankind Warrior Project upstate New York.
That's right. So I was actually just talking about it in the car on the way over here.
Are you?
Yeah.
So 2012.
Crazy.
October, I think, 2012. That's where we were kind of like, I don't know, drunk on not eating food. I mean, they didn't feed us for 3 days, so we were like in a stupor. But we met. Nick was like, I'm a pilot, and I'm like, excuse me, and we started talking, and I was like, I want to learn how to fly, and it turns out that I took my son for a flight experience at Ventura like 2 years earlier, not knowing the connection. And it turns out that it was the same location. And then I called up Nick the week after, and I'm like, so you got to teach me how to fly. And he's like, yeah, I don't really do that, but I own the company. I'm like, oh, crap. Okay. And we were fast friends ever since. But, and I ended up taking my lessons, which we're not going to talk about.
Sore subject, right?
Yeah, I know Nick wants to talk about that. But I do have 93 hours, and I've flown solo many times, and I just never took the final test.
You sure you don't want to talk about it? We could set up a couch. You could lay down.
Yeah,
we could talk about what's really holding you back.
Exactly. This is totally therapy for me.
Yeah.
So, I'm glad you're here. This is going to be a great thing. So what do you do with Ventura? Like, just give a background to what Ventura is. So I think the average citizen doesn't really understand private aviation, you know, and they think it's like for the big boys and the millionaires, but yeah, and it is, but it's also for regular people like me. So tell me a little bit about Ventura and what you do.
I want to start by saying I find it funny that you refer to yourself as regular.
I'm a regular guy.
All right. kind of. You have an interesting backstory too, so you're also a pretty extraordinary dude.
Well, thanks, but no. But I hope my mother's listening.
Exactly. This is the moment. So Ventura ultimately started out as a flight school, mm-hmm. and it was started by my dad. It was just a regular dude that worked with computers and fixed cars and just got the bug for flying. And it kind of grew from there organically into a maintenance company, a charter company. And really, it was kind of split between providing luxury jet services, but also allowing anybody to come take a flight experience, like $200. You go up flying for an hour. You could take someone up to dinner or fly around the Hudson River. So it's about really making aviation accessible, especially on Long Island. It's a big deal because this is the cradle of aviation. This is where a lot of it started.
Yeah. Grumman and all that stuff.
Yeah. I mean, even Roosevelt Field, that was where Charles Lindbergh took off from.
Well, that is true. That is true. Not, and the average Long Islander does not know that.
Yeah. I mean, there were, I don't know the actual number. I think it's something like 60 or 70 airports at one point on Long Island.
I didn't know that.
Yeah. I mean, imagine they were just little grass strips, right? They were just like your yard was, you know, if you had a big yard, it was big enough for airplanes to take off of back in the 30s.
That's right. Wow, that's cool. And I met Gabreski, you know, Gabreski Airport out east. He was the president of the Long Island Railroad at one point, and I met him. And he was an old World War II guy, fighter. I mean, quite a history, massive amount of war missions he's been on. But anyway, I digress. We could talk about planes all day, but I wanted to talk about the business of planes. So so your dad started the company. You know, how did you, I remember you telling me once, you got into it. You were flying before you were driving a car. Is that right?
Yeah, I mean, so just to give some context, I grew up in a way that I thought everyone had planes, because just in the way everyone had cars, I thought everyone used their car to get to their plane. I didn't know any different. I mean, from the time I was two, I was in airplanes. So like one of my first memories was getting into the airplane. It was cold, but it was daytime. And then I got out and it was warm and dark. And the next day we were at Disney World. Like, I just remember like airplanes got me to Mickey Mouse. So I really loved that at like 4 years old. That was one of my earliest memories.
Oh, wow.
But then, you know, I flew on my 16th birthday. I got my license on my 17th birthday. And for me, it was like aviation was just such an integral part of a way to spend time with your family. It wasn't this crazy luxurious lifestyle. It was like, let's go fly to Hershey Park in Pennsylvania, the same way people might drive in their minivan or something like
that.
Right. And actually in third grade, my teacher had asked me, I just came back from summer break, and she said, what did you do over the summer? And I said, I flew a plane. And she said, no, you flew in a plane. And I said, no, I actually flew the plane and I logged the time in my logbook. And she called my mom and said I was a pathological liar. My mom's like, no, he actually flew the plane and he actually logged the time. So that was for me when I realized most people don't know how accessible aviation really is, that it's you just go down to your local airport and you ask for a discovery flight or a first flight experience. And for, you know, a couple $100, you're up there actually flying an airplane with no preparation. You don't need to study. You don't need to practice. You just fly the plane.
That's and that was my greatest takeaway. And it was because, I guess, of Groupon that I found the Ventura Flight School. And the reason I chose it is because you gave a free logbook and a picture with the plane. You know, and it was my son's birthday.
My marketing prowess wins. All right.
There you go. It was because of that. Seriously, because there's a few schools who do it, as you know. Yeah. And I was like, wow, this is great. And my son, I believe he was 18, my son Anthony at the time, or 17, I don't remember. But we did that flight, and it was like the thrill of his life. And it was the thrill of my life. It was the first time I was ever on a plane like that, you know. And it's only a four-seater. I'm in the back seat. He's flying the plane. And I forget the name of the instructor that took us up that day. He was a young guy. And by the time I started taking lessons, he had already moved on. But he took us over his house where his kids have in rocks, hello or hi spelled out in his driveway. So that's, he took really us cool. around the house, you know, and it was just like absolutely amazing. And the thing that I learned from it is that, you know, we're flying and he said, you know, what do you think happens when the engine shuts off? And I'm like, well, you drop like a rock. And he's like, no, watch. So he doesn't shut the plane off, but he puts it like in neutral. And so we start descending, but we're gliding. And so he's teaching us that, you know, if something happens, you have time to recover. And it was a most fascinating experience for me because I was like, wow, this, you know, we don't drop out of the sky. So it makes me a lot more comfortable. And I think, you know, and as I do like a lot of motivational speaking to companies, I use that kind of analogy that when you're flying and, you know, you feel like you're descending, you want to pull back on the yoke. But really what you need to do is push down. Right. And get the wind under your wings. So you got to double down when your business slows up. And so I talk about that. But my point being that it was a fantastic experience. And if everybody knew, and I remember you telling me once, if you took like a 747, if it was a paper plane and you threw it, it would fly because it's meant to fly.
Yeah, it would actually glide about 120 miles from altitude.
Right.
Which blows people's minds.
Right. 120, the whole length of Long Island.
Yeah.
It would glide with no engines. So, you know, and hence Sully and all that stuff. Awesome. So, I want to get into business stuff, though. I could talk, we should just talk about this stuff one day, but what's the biggest challenges, you know, for your company and your industry now? What's going on?
So interestingly, I was just in Oshkosh, and I don't know if you know what Oshkosh is. It's the largest general aviation convention in the world. It's about 500,000 people, 15,000 planes fly in to the middle of Wisconsin.
Yeah.
And I actually got to interview a bunch of the CEOs of aviation companies. And like these are like big time guys, even Blue Origin, which is like the space tourism rocket. I mean, really cool conversations. I asked everyone what the biggest challenge was for the industry, and they all said the same thing I would say, which is we're all terrible at marketing it. And the misconceptions, unfortunately, pervade. Like we haven't been very good at overcoming that. So we're seeing this industry shrink, less pilots are coming into it. And it's just unfortunate. We're just not really sure where to turn with that. And like I said, most aviation people are passionate aviators. They're mechanics and pilots. They're not marketing people and business people.
Right. Which is almost any business, if you really think about it, right? If you read Michael Gerber's book, The E-Myth Revisited, right? So it's all about the technician in any business. And you know, as I'm in franchising, and I, you know, just to clarify anybody who's listening that doesn't know me, I own a business that matches people with franchise opportunities based on skills and personality and goals. I like to call it the e-harmony of business. So, and I try to share with people, the reason you buy a franchise is because you get all the help that you need, because I don't care how good you are at something, you're not good at business, marketing, hiring, retention, employee, customer, you know, all that stuff. So that's interesting. So the marketing, but not of, and we have to really, I think, define that you're talking about private kind of aviation, not commercial. You know, we're not talking about JetBlue and Delta and American Airlines, but because they market pretty well, I think. But people,
I would challenge that, but yeah, that's
well,
good too.
You know, we know who they are, you know, yeah. They're household names.
Terrible brands though, right?
They're scary brands.
Right. Yeah. Like no one says I love the airline I fly on, right?
Right?
Like we all take it for granted. That's part of the challenge, is we all take it for granted. If you ever saw Louis C.K., he did this bit on everything's amazing and everyone and like no one cares.
Right.
Right. So he was speaking about the fact that we're flying 500 miles an hour in a tin can across the country, and people used to have to take horses across the country, and half your party would die in the process.
Right.
But we're pissed off that, you know, the Wi-Fi is not working.
Right, right.
You know, it's like that's how bad it is. So we see that there's a real issue around expectation, what people want for, you know, if someone spends $15,000 flying on a private jet from here to there, you imagine they're going to be upset if their limo's late, and they're going to be upset if the catering wasn't exactly the way they wanted, or even things out of our control. If there's a thunderstorm, I can't help that. If there's ATC delays. So it can be a little bit of a challenging space. And I think even bigger than that, you know, there's obviously, like you said, a franchise with any business, it is difficult to be in the business of business. Most people are not in the business of business.
Right. Right.
But it's either further compounded when you're in a business that's really sexy. So a friend of mine is a professor at NYU in business school, and he said he has a chart on his wall in his room, and it says if you plot the sexiness against the profitability, it's an inverse relationship. So he said if you want to start a business, make a lot of money, go into HVAC.
That's so funny.
You know, if you want to be in Hollywood, if you want to be in aviation, you want to be in boats, all the sexy businesses are hard, because that's where people, after they've already made it, they open up a passion business.
Yeah.
Like, look, I exited finance with $100 million in my pocket. I'm going to go start a jet company because I love it.
Right.
Makes me excited. That's my competition.
That's so interesting. Wow. That's a whole... You just opened up a can of worms right there. There's a lot to talk about in regard to that. Because in franchising, when people come to me, they're like, I want to buy... Tell me the hottest franchise. That's what I want. Is it burgers? Is it yogurt? I mean, what is it? And I always say...
It's plumbing.
It's sucking water out of people's basements. Water restoration.
Exactly. It's
because people need it, not want it. A plumber, as you brought up, a plumber will make as much, if not more money than a doctor today. Maybe not a dentist, because dentists don't take insurance anymore, so you have to pay them cash. But
that's right.
But plumbers, you know, you could get into like a Roto-Rooter, which is not franchised anymore, but you know, a bit people know Roto-Rooter. So I use it as an example. It's like a $75,000 investment and you're making $200,000 to $300,000 in your pocket. It's like, you know, and I'm not even making earnings claims and stuff like that, but I'm just trying to get you people to understand that, like you said, sexy doesn't work.
Yeah. And as you're talking, so you said $200,000 to $300,000 those guys are making. So I'm putting myself on the market then if anybody wants to hire me to run their plumbing business.
Right.
That sounds fantastic. No, in all seriousness though, a lot of our customers, believe it or not, are going to be like, it's those kind of people. It's guys that run their own franchises or run their own businesses. They make a good living. They have control of their schedule and it doesn't cost that much to have a small plane. That's the really crazy thing. So it's, you know, it's all the things you'd be like, I never even thought of that. I never thought of sucking water out of someone's basement. But those are the guys that bought little planes and have a really great lifestyle and have a house in Montauk or Block Island in Nantucket. And
yeah,
man, if I could go back, I'd reconsider my options.
Yeah, it's amazing. It, you know, and as I speak to younger kids that are in school, I try to bring that up. And there's, I had somebody on a few weeks ago, a friend of mine, Jeff Tampone, who owns East Coast Refrigeration. Great little business. He has his challenges. No way, you know, no two ways about it. Pulls his hair out a lot. But his biggest challenge is his phone's ringing off the hook, but he has nobody to go on the call. People are not going to trade schools anymore because colleges made trade schools have a bad name.
Yeah.
And if you go to a, you know, like local high school where my son went in Wantagh, they got rid of wood shop, auto shop. It doesn't exist anymore. They fired the teachers or whatever they did with them, transferred them. And, you know, like you must go to college because colleges are paying high schools for these, you know, fairs and whatever else they're doing. They're making money on it, the high school. So it's a really weird situation. But if you, you know, and he had all these stats. He was like, it's like amazing, like 350,000 steam workers are retiring in the next 5 years. 350,000, only 17,000 people are in school to be a steam fitter. So it's like, what? So, I mean, you could get into a business like that, not go to college, get your apprenticeship, and you call the shots. You tell people how much money you're going to make, it, you know, how much they're going to pay you. It's amazing. But
I'm so against college right now. You have no idea. It's actually, and again, the same guy who had his wall chart plotting sexiness said to me, because I was saying, like, you know, maybe I need an MBA. Do I need to go back to business school? Is that what I'm missing that would really help me get to the next level? And he said, look, here's the deal. If you're a Volkswagen, business school is going to make you a Lexus. If you're a Mercedes, business school is going to make you a Lexus. And I was just like, that's really, it's actually super interesting. He's like, look, no matter who you are, we're going to get the same result. But he said, if you're entrepreneurial, you're already swinging above your pay grade. So you don't need any validation. Just go and do.
Right. That's so true. And that's exciting as I meet people, as I got out of being a subway conductor, because I used to work on the R train and the N and the B out of Coney Island, opening and closing doors, took a chance, bought a business, expanded, got to meet people like you and a whole bunch of other people that are just doing stuff and making it happen and screwing up and failing, getting up again, doing it again. And every once in a while, you're like, holy crap, you see somebody on TV and you're like, I knew that guy. You know what I mean? It's just absolutely fun. And life is so short. I mean, why would you want, you know, I mean, I'm not taking it away from people that just want to work a job 9 to 5, get a paycheck and go home. I mean, that was my dad and he that's what he did and it was great and he built a life like that. But it's not for me, you know. It just was not filling my soul. So, you know, for Katie's sake, we have Nick's friend Katie in the studio. So there's a quick story I got to share that you'll appreciate that. I was a subway conductor, and I was on the R train. It was a Sunday night, and I hated the R train for two reasons. One, it was a local, made every stop from 95th Street in Brooklyn to Continental Avenue in Queens, every stop, 44, and it never came out of the ground. The only subway line, a little trivia, the only subway line that doesn't come out of the ground at one point in the run, except for the Grand Central Shuttle. And I was like, wait a second, this is like, I hated it. So an old timer was sitting there. He was like, oh, what are you grumpy about? I'm like, because it's Sunday afternoon. I'm Italian. I'm eating a bagel for dinner. And my family's home eating macaroni. So like, I'm really not happy about doing this. And he said, I'll never forget this. He said, hey, kid, this is a great job. You'll always have a shirt on your back. It'll never be a silk shirt, but you'll always have a shirt. And that's when I decided I got to be a business owner because they were wearing the metaphorical silk shirts.
Yeah.
Right. And so that was like the impetus. But, again, I digress.
That's a good story, though.
Yeah, it's
and it's interesting because some people would go the other way with that, and they'd be like, you know what? I need to have gratitude for what I have and really embrace it. That's why I say entrepreneurship sounds sexy. Again, it is really hard. I don't think everyone should do it. But, you know, again, like you knew what was inside of you.
There was something else burning. Yeah. Even before I became a conductor, I knew what I wanted to do. I wasn't sure what it was. And I needed to fulfill my life's purpose, which I don't think is fulfilled yet. I'm still kind of going. But
you got
to
still finish your license. That's why.
Well, that's part of it. Yeah, definitely. Because it's tough to talk about flying a plane on stage and you don't have a license.
Yeah.
kind of well, you know. but anyway, we're gonna close up the segment here. Hey, Mike in the studio, we're gonna wrap it up. All right, cool. So we're gonna be back in a couple of minutes. Stay tuned. This is the Franchise Radio Show talking about aviation tonight with Nick Tarascio. We'll be right back.
The views and opinions expressed on this program are not necessarily those of this station, JVC Broadcasting Management, or its sponsors.
Take this job and shove it. I ain't working here no more.
And welcome back to the Franchise Radio Show. This is Tom Skarda, and we're talking to you live from Islip MacArthur Airport in Suffolk County, Long Island. We're live every Tuesday night at 8 p.m., and we talk about everything franchising. Our mission is to help people understand the pros and cons of franchising and understand and bust the myths that are associated with franchising and business ownership. But tonight we're talking about aviation with my friend Nick Tarascio from Ventura Air Services in actually Farmingdale Airport, just a little bit west of here in Nassau County. So we were talking about Nick's new show, Take Off With Nick, on YouTube. So I want to talk a little bit about personal branding and launching the YouTube channel. What is this all about? I mean, what's the impetus for this?
I just see the world is changing around. People don't really have relationships to corporations. They have relationships to people. So you look at the Steve Jobs and the Elon Musks, and you realize at the top of a lot of these companies that have a real cult following is this person that they anchor to, right? They feel some sort of rapport with. So I said, you know, aviation is so abstract for most people, and there's not really a face of it anymore. Maybe Branson, right? Like he was, but he's not that relevant for a younger audience. So I said, I think I'd really like to give it a go and doing some storytelling and really sharing the why. Now, anybody could talk about the technical reasons, but I really wanted to share the why. So I felt like I had a face for TV.
Yeah. Well, you got it, but you're on the radio today, so.
I know. Well, today I have a face for radio. That's fine.
I have a face for radio, and that's why I'm here. But you're right. You're hitting a little niche, I think, that's open for you to tackle. I don't know. I don't think anybody is, you know, following that that recipe, and there's ways to do it. My wife Gina, who's here and helping me with cameras tonight on Facebook Live, is an expert at branding and an expert at making somebody an expert in their field, and now teaching on it, and she's writing a book about it. So it's really a cool thing, and that's kind of what I'm trying to do in franchising is kind of be the face of franchising, talk to people about, you know, I'm a regular guy. I don't have an MBA. You know, I barely have a bachelor's degree. You know, I never walked on the moon. I never drove a NASCAR. I'm just a regular guy. I mean, seriously, you know, and I think that, you know, franchising was so successful for me. It could be for anybody if you find the right franchise and don't fall into the pitfalls that a lot of people fall into when they're choosing a business or a profession, like you're talking about in the earlier segment. You know, oh, what's sexy? I want to get into something sexy. And sexy will, you know, drive you into bankruptcy. You got to find something that is going to be a needed service and not a wanted service by the public. So, so that's great. You're working on a book, which I think is really important. And so tell us about this book. What's the subject? When's it coming out?
So the book should be out hopefully in, I'm hoping 45 days, but it's been a long journey because I'm just so busy running the business that it took longer than I thought it would be to write the book.
Sure, always
does. But the whole premise was that aviation doesn't cost as much as people think. So it's called Own Your Own Plane. It doesn't cost as much as you think. It's literally the title. And the whole premise of it was started from the fact that every time I take someone flying with me, they look at the plane and they go, oh, wow, this thing must be really expensive. And I have them guess and they're always way off.
Okay.
Way off. So like the little planes you were flying and you can buy them for about $40,000.
Right.
And it's a little four-seater. You could fly yourself to any of the islands, Nantucket, Martha's Vineyard. And it's like, you know, for less than a Mercedes, I can have my own plane. And then, you know, even the cost of flying kind of blows people's minds of, well, what did it cost for you to do the flight, though? That must be expensive. I'm like, I don't know, $45, right? Parking $5 overnight. Yeah. And people from New York are like, you got to be kidding me. It costs me more to park my car.
Yeah.
Right? So it's there's just this whole misconception that I really wanted to overcome. And I think that it's, again, people think like I want to buy a plane because I want to be a baller or a rapper with my G6.
Yeah.
I'm like, no, like none of that. That's not, that's, I mean, sure, that's for some people, but I really believe it's an amazing tool for connection. Mm-hmm. At the end of the day, you're a dad. When you're sitting up in the front of a plane with your son, and again, I had this as, you know, me and my father, people would always make fun of their dads. I was like, my dad's awesome. He takes me flying. He lets me fly. We have this amazing relationship. We'd go fly to interesting food destinations. And I found my confidence. I learned how to run a business being a pilot. I mean, all the skills I learned to apply to business came from pilot training. Huh. So I look and I just say, there's so much that came out of that. I have a worldly perspective, amazing friendships. I get access to anyone I want to know. I just say, hey, do you want to come with me to fly to lunch in Martha's Vineyard? And everyone suddenly has time. It's unbelievable. So I just saw that there's a lot of benefits to owning and flying that people don't talk about. They just think it's it's got to be a business tool. Well, yeah, but let's tell you how.
Well, Gene has never been to Martha's Vineyard, so
there you go.
You could go with a famous actress to Martha's Vineyard.
Exactly.
How did you become a CEO, though? How did that transpire?
You want the real story to that?
I want the real story.
So I had been helping out with the family business forever. I mean, since I was a kid, since I was 19, I decided I wanted to give myself a Borders Books MBA. I bought a bunch of books on running a business and said, okay, I'm a manager now. And then I was with my mom at a networking event at the Bethpage golf course.
Uh-huh.
And I'm not that, I actually had a lot of social anxiety as a kid. And even in my 20s, I had a hard time approaching people in a cold approach. And so she and I were wallflowering a little bit and just kind of talking amongst ourselves. And some guy runs over and says, hey, what do you do? And we talk about jets. And he's like, oh, this event in the city called the CEO Trust and you really should be there. And we're like, yeah, we'd love to go. And he's like, well, which one of you is the CEO? It's just for CEOs. And we pause and my mom goes, he is. And that was it. I became the CEO. And then I went to work the next day and I went, what does a CEO do?
Ah.
And I looked it up and you know, it's like one of those opportunities where a window opened and I said, look, I could just say it's a title. Or I could really understand what that is. And that was a really big inflection point for me because I felt the responsibility of just the title.
That's so funny. That's great. Wow. My mom is like, he's a subway conductor and he's going to get a pension in 30 years. But yeah, it's great. And I know your mom and I know your dad and I know your brother. And, you know, I mean, it's like, great family. I always loved hanging around the hangar, and we had great events there too. I was just talking about the Memorial Day thing when I have the planes flying over Jones Beach and they come out of the airport there and stuff. And it's just, you know, great family. So I feel grateful to have, you know, to have met you and of course the rest of the family. Just amazing. And everybody who works there is kind of like a family member. I mean, everybody, and I forget everybody's names now, but, you know, down to the maintenance guys and the guy who's actually, you know, cleaning up the office and stuff. Just great, great, great folks. So I wanted to talk a little bit about the takeoff with Nick. We didn't really get into it. So we got, you're doing a YouTube channel, and we called it like, you know, going for coffee with comedians or something like that. But you said it's really a different thing. So what did you say it was?
So, yeah, I mean, it started with everyone kept on telling me, you know, have you seen comedians in cars getting coffee with Jerry Seinfeld? And I went, that's an interesting concept. And I've for years have been taking friends on flight adventures. I would just say like, look, let's go flying somewhere. Let's go get dinner or let's go spend 3 days just flying around following the good weather. And I realized that in the cockpit, these amazing conversations would happen because you're up there, your phones are off, you're like looking over everything. You have this literal 30,000 foot view. Mm. And I was like, I want to capture that magic. It's really like some of the best advice I ever got took place up in that cockpit.
Huh.
So that was kind of the whole genesis of it. And then the other stuff I do is I really liked hacking adventures. So like I would go to a new town and figure out how quickly could I find the soul of this town. And I'm not talking like, you know, everyone's been to LA and Miami and that stuff. I'm talking like Dillon, Montana, or, you know, Beckley, West Virginia. And it was like, there's really amazing stuff in those places, but most people just consider those things flyover states.
Right.
And the plane allowed me to get deep into places that no one would go. And I found just amazing people, food, experiences, just like once in a lifetime moments that you capture with someone. And we said, let's turn that into something.
Wow. That is pretty cool. Yeah. I didn't realize it was that deep. I thought you were just trying to like do something fun.
Inevitably I make everything that way, right? It's right. Like kind of my thing. Now we've pivoted our strategy a little bit, but or maybe more diversified it, because simultaneously a bunch of people in aviation saw what we were doing, and we ended up partnering with three aviation news outlets that we just filmed in Oshkosh when we were there for the aviation convention. We actually created a lot of content for them.
Cool.
What I realize is, we're fun, we're light, we're high energy, and I happen to be a unique character that knows every side of the business, so I can interview people, not as a journalist, as an insider.
Right, right.
So that's also happening as well. So I don't know, like typical, I'm just distracted with too many things, as always.
As always, but that's the fun things. And then eventually you pick what you really enjoy, and you go with it, you go heavy, you go deep. You know, they say go, you know, 3 inches wide and 10 miles deep with something when you learn it, when you get it, when you know what finally your passion will strike.
Yeah.
And it'll happen. And that's really exciting stuff. But if you're listening, I want you to subscribe to Nick's YouTube channel. So it's Take Off with Nick on YouTube, and subscribe to his channel, and you're going to see some really cool videos like he's talking about in the cockpit with some forward thinkers, some business people, entrepreneurs, and that will be a really phenomenal thing. Your book, I don't know, do you have a publisher, or are you self-publishing like I did?
Self-publish.
Yeah, right. So if you're self-publishing and if you use like CreateSpace, there's always an option. Like I give away my book a lot. So if you wanted to do that, you know, for any listeners, you could, you know, give them an email. Say, hey, email me and I'll send you my book.
Yeah, actually, if you go to ownyourownplane.com, there should be a landing page where you could put your email in, and then I'll just send you a free copy. If you do that before I release the book.
Okay, ownyourownplane.com. Ownyourownplane.com. So if you go there, you can get a free copy of Nick's book. If you email me, just in case, email me at tom@thefranchiseradioshow.com, and I'll make sure you get a copy. Again, my email is tom@thefranchiseradioshow.com. And if you're listening, because you're a trooper, because we're you know, three quarters through the show, I'll give you a free copy of my book, too, which is Franchise Savvy, 6 Strategies That Pros Use to Pick a Top-Performing Franchise, which is a number one bestseller on Amazon and, you know, in the business book section. So I'm really proud of that, especially since I am not an MBA nor a BS. Although my wife says I'm a BS artist, so I don't know if that counts.
That means you're an expert at BS, yeah. For sure.
But yeah, very, very cool stuff. So in operating a family business, is operating in a family business a different dynamic, you think, than if you were an outsider in the business working? I mean,
it's funny. We're kind of a weird scenario. In fact, I work with a lot of business coaches, and we've worked with a lot of consultants. I always like to be, I always say, like, if you're the smartest person in the room, actually a friend of mine says it too. If you're the smartest person in the room, you're in the wrong room.
Mm-hmm.
So we brought in all these consultants, and they all said, you know, family business is not your problem, because we really get along and we have a lot of mutual respect, and we've really set the boundaries and had the right communication on who does what and how they do it. And, have you ever heard of the drama triangle?
No.
So in a drama triangle, they say there is a hero, a victim, and a villain. So hypothetically, let's say that there's the three of us, right? And I say, you know, Tom, Gina was really giving me a hard time, and I'm really upset about it. And then you go, so now I'm the victim, and you're the hero that's going to go handle the villain, right? And that happens a lot when, instead of me going right to Gina and saying what it is, it creates these crazy triangles. They're called drama triangles.
Huh, cool.
So we actually learned about that and realized we need to have a lot more direct conversation with the person that we're annoyed with instead of talking to like my dad about my mom or, you know, so forth, right? So that was a really big shift. But I think actually our employees have a harder time with it, because they feel weird. They're like, look, it's a complex business. My parents, like my dad is a pilot and a mechanic, and he's also the owner of the company, and I'm the CEO, but I have managers between me and him.
Mm.
So technically, the managers are above him when it comes to him being a mechanic and a pilot.
Interesting, right?
Challenging.
Weird, yeah.
Yeah, they feel, and you know, sometimes he's really receptive, sometimes he's not. It just depends what mood he's in. But for the most part, it's actually they really struggle with it, where it's like, he's the owner, I don't want to say what needs to be said. And I'm like, it's actually okay. He'll respect it if you speak to him in the right way. I mean, as long as you don't try to knock him down.
Yeah.
I think that's been the hardest thing for family business.
Very cool. Do you have any mentors that you look up to, you know, any books that you've read that have had a significant impact that you would recommend?
Well, you kicked off E-Myth, which for me was a really big inflection point. Recently, there was a book that really got to me, was called The Five Temptations of a CEO. And I think that's the right title. It's Patrick Lencioni. And in that, it basically talked about different behaviors that hold us back. Now, for everyone, it's a little different. For me, I think it was the third habit, which was the need for perfect information.
Mm-hmm.
And that was huge, because I was like, you know, I don't execute. I have a lot of, I'm an idea guy. My dad's an executor. He's already busy doing stuff, wrong or right. It doesn't matter. He's well ahead of me. And I'm sitting there like, no, we need more information. We need to know this is perfect. So that was a big thing that woke me up to realize, like, YouTube for me is not so much about YouTube. It's about stopping the perfection and saying, just put it out there. Put it out there, even if it's not perfect. Put it out into the world. You'll iterate it. You'll look back a year and be super embarrassed, and that's okay, and you'll just be better.
Yeah.
So I think that was a really important book. This book called Scaling Up, which was previously Mastering the Rockefeller Habits, was an entire business operating system, which really helped us get our culture down. That was super critical as well. And then I just have a bunch of smart friends that I'm really fortunate to know that slap me around.
Yeah, isn't that great? I mean, you got to surround yourself with great people. It was Jim Rohn, of course, you've heard, you know, you are the equal of the five people you hang around with most.
Yeah.
So it's important to have great friends, great business friends, great influencers. And you know, part of it, like for me, as much as I love, you know, the blue collar folks and kicking back and that kind of thing, I like to get to another level. And everybody's like, no, don't worry about it. You don't have to like write another book. And I'm like, no, but I do. I feel like I do.
Yeah.
So you got to get to the people who are going to be like, yeah, no, you need to do 10 more books. You're not done yet, you know. So you need people that push you.
Yeah.
As an entrepreneur, we really need that. And we need people to help kick us in the butt, but cheer us on and not laugh at us when we fall, but, you know, help pick us up and move to the next level. Because what you're doing has such a magnificent ripple effect, you know, it's hard to even fathom. You know, like I started this like stupid little smoothie franchise, and, you know, because of that franchise, people met, got married, had kids. I mean, like, crazy things happen. And like, you don't expect it. So the impact you have on people's lives, you'll never know. So you got to realize that as you're doing stuff, you're pushing that ripple. And the more you push it, the more people you affect. And it's always a positive effect. It's just a great, great thing. Is there a myth that you would want to bust about your industry? I know you talk a little bit about it earlier. We talked about it a little bit around the book. But is there anything like specifically, if I woke you up in the middle of the night and said, you know, what is everybody confused about in aviation that you want to straighten out right now?
Man, that's tough. There's a lot of myths, but I think just, you know, again, like I said before, I think it's the myth that it's inaccessible to people.
Mm-hmm.
That, you know, you got to be a special breed to be able to be a part of private aviation or general aviation, and you need to be of privilege. And that's just not the case. I mean, to get a license is $10,000.
Right.
You know, to go fly once is a $200 experience.
Right.
So, and, you know, like even silly things like, do I need perfect vision? It's like, no, you don't need any of that either. So, you know, I'm a bad driver. That's okay. You might be a good pilot. Like, it doesn't.
It's true.
You know, it's just a lot of people make it. I think it's just, you know, it's like anything. People look for a reason to kind of, they have a fear that's stopping them from doing it. Not that you'd know anything about that.
Yeah,
but,
I don't know about that.
You know, and then it's just, I'm going to justify the fear with a bunch of excuses of why I can't do it.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, I don't have any excuses. I just, I'm just afraid to fly. That's it.
Yeah.
It's funny because people, you know, I was always a big motorcycle enthusiast, and people are like, So you got a motorcycle? Like, no, I sold my motorcycle a couple of years ago. And they're like, so what do you do? I'm like, well, I fly planes. I try to fly planes. And they're like, why? I was like, because it makes my mother nervous. So that's why I do it.
Makes my mother nervous too, actually.
Yeah. But she's been around it all this time.
That's right.
So Maureen is your mom's name, right? Yeah. So in case she's listening, I want to shout out and say hello to Maureen. A great smile in the morning when I said, because I used to take early flight lessons, and she would come in and I would, she always had a nice smile and talk to me. Nobody else would talk to me.
You're a scary looking dude, man.
Not, I'm just a regular guy.
Coming in with the tats and everything like that?
I'm just a regular guy. Come on. I really enjoyed that. So how could people reach Ventura if they want to find out more about flight experience as an example?
Sure. You just go to ventura.aero, .aero is the extension. Everything in my life is hard to find, apparently.
Why is that? There's a psychology behind that, you know.
That's right. I make everyone work for it.
Yeah. So it's ventura.aero, A-E-R-O. And before we close it up, I wanted to quickly, we got like 45 seconds, quick story about the 80-year-old guy that really made you saw the light.
Oh, yeah, yeah. So I just become, this was like a month after I became CEO, because my mom's appointment, right? This 80-year-old guy came in off a first flight experience and wasn't smiling. And I said, hey, what's going on, man? Did you not enjoy your flight? And he said, no, I realized it was really awesome and I could have done this my whole life and I missed out and I miss it. Mm. Like, I really miss that.
That's sad, man.
Well, don't let that happen to you.
That's right. So go to ventura.aero. And this is the Franchise Radio Show. And thanks for listening. This was one of my favorite shows because I love airplanes. And I thank Nick Tarasio and Katie for coming out, talking about airplanes. This is Tom Scarter. We'll be back next Tuesday. And Franchise Radio Show, we're out. Good night. God bless.